The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and the winner will be the first person to find Roman Reigns' cheers.
Impossible.
Good luck, everybody.
In Vince McMahon's head.
Easy.
Do I win?
Hey.
Asa won.
Hey, welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It is, do you guys know what day it is?
Yeah.
Wednesday. It's the 16th.
Well, Jesse, but do you know what day it is?
Is it
Stone Cold Steve Austin Day.
I was going to get there.
It's 3.
I was going to do a bit.
I was going to do a bit too. Ace's.
No, I'm too excited about it.
He's chomping at the bit. It's 316 day.
What?
What?
No. What?
No. We're not doing that. Hey, it's of Austin 316 day. It's March 16th, 2016, and we got Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and boy, do we have a show for you tonight. And I wish it could be better.
Well, we just hit the biggest news today already. It's 316.
I disagree.
It's coming. It's coming. Don't worry about that. Speaking of coming, we're talking about Hulk Hogan's trial later. We got...
That actually works, and I'm upset about it.
We're gonna talk about, beautiful.
We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk about Roadblock. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here tonight. Next to me, of course, Dalton Manch.
Yo.
Great job last week, by the way.
Right. Like, I'm really hoping that you carry that over to this week.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was a good show. I mean, you did fantastic.
Yeah, thanks,
you did fantastic.
I've literally never heard anyone praise Dalton before, and I haven't listened to the show. Is this legit? Like,
it was hard not to praise his performance last week.
His performance last week, we'll fill you in. Yeah. We'll fill you in.
Oh, okay.
Baby bird. Asa Gray, the 5-star man, my good friend down at the end of the table. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you.
Last night's show was fun.
It was really good. I actually had a couple people tell me that they liked it.
I had a couple people message me and tell me what their shows were.
I never get the people saying that they like things. It always comes from you. But I got it today.
Well, I appreciate that. And of course, to our right, Ali Abear.
Wait,
no, you're not.
Hey, how y'all doing?
New York has changed you.
You're harder than you used to be. No, it's Jesse Kimball joining us tonight simply because he was here.
Accurate.
And he saw Roadblock.
I did see Roadblock. Yeah, he watched it with us. Let's start off with that. Roadblock was Saturday. It's exactly what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was a filler pay-per-view just to sell the network.
And it was still entertaining.
It was. It wasn't a bad show, except for a couple things that were baffling, and I hated them. And we're going to get to that first. But overall, do you think it was just a network seller, and did it sell? If you weren't a subscriber, which I think Dalton and I are the only subscribers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would it sell you? If you were looking to subscribe?
Me personally, no, because I knew Dean Ambrose wasn't going to win. But like, if there's a fairly casual viewer who didn't already have the network,
yeah,
and you know, they really thought that, oh, well, Dean Ambrose might actually have a chance of beating Triple H, then absolutely, especially considering how close we are to WrestleMania.
WrestleMania is right around the corner. It's
2 weeks away.
2 weeks away, which is insane.
I just requested off of work to make sure that I was not the one Sunday night I get scheduled.
That would be terrible.
I would not be happy.
I know. Jesse, what about you? Did you, I know you're not a huge wrestling fan, but you do enjoy the wrestling occasionally. Did Roadblock sell you on wrestling? If you were a casual fan and they wanted you to pay $10 a month for things like this, would you say, yes, you got me?
If that was the first thing I'd ever seen of wrestling and, I say that. That was the first pay-per-view I had seen. Like, I'm a casual fan, and I just started watching pay-per-views. No, that probably wouldn't have sold me.
And I'm kind of with you on that. Dalton, what about you?
If I was Jesse, and I was told that I was going to get the next month for free, and this is the first offering they gave me, which it was, like, it's the first live programming they gave me with the network for the first free month.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'd be into it. Be like, oh, man, I'm going to get stuff like this, but I'm only going to get it kind of quarterly. And it's never really going to advance storylines or plots, but I'm going to get this weird live show.
That brings up something that I had just thought about. Do you think that people would be more likely to be impressed with the show, especially someone it's their first thing that they're watching for the free month, if any title had changed hands?
Yeah,
yes,
or anything
absolutely
significant had happened story-wise?
Well, see, that's the problem with Roadblock is if you're a smart fan like us, mm-hmm, because I don't want to say, oh, we're the internet marks and smarks and whatnot, but we do pay attention to behind-the-scenes stuff. We've been around a long, long time. We've watched wrestling for many, many years. You know, going into WrestleMania, there's no way in hell that they're going to change the storylines around so drastically. You knew Triple H was going to beat Ambrose one way or another. The New Day, kind of iffy. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly,
that was the only one they probably could have gotten away with a real switch.
But you knew there was no way in hell Ambrose was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their big selling point. It was Ambrose versus Triple H for the title, and it just seemed like a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because then on Raw, they didn't really talk about it much. I mean, Ambrose came out and cut a promo, but then immediately went back into Brock Lesnar mode. Like, they remembered, oh yeah, now we need to sell WrestleMania. Oh yeah,
this is the feud that we're supposed to be building to.
So, for people that are smart in the business, I think it was insulting. You know, I mean, you knew what it was going to be. It wasn't for us.
I wouldn't say
it was for the casual fan.
I wouldn't say insulting in that, like, no one phoned it in. Like, no match was bad.
No, and Triple H, give credit where credit is due. Triple H is what? Pushing 50, isn't he?
He's 46.
46? And the man put on a great match. He can go like no other. It was a great show, great wrestling. Mm-hmm. It was pointless.
It's kind of like the live show that we went to here where it's like there was no long-term implications at all.
Well, just a fun exhibition.
It was a fun, because it was a house show, basically.
Which is fine, you can do that. It's just if you want to get people to think that these specials that they would then be paying $10 a month for are worth it and really matter, it kind of feels like maybe you should have something happen that will continue something.
They've lost that. One of the great things about wrestling when I grew up, and I assume Ace, you the same way, because you and I pretty much have a very similar history of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Dalton, when did you start watching wrestling?
My earliest memory is right around the Mike Tyson.
So the Attitude Era?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or mid Attitude Era is whenever I really remember. I've been watching since I was a baby, but I started getting really cognizant around the Attitude Era.
And Jesse, you've been watching wrestling for a long, even before this, you watched wrestling as a kid.
Yes.
I know you've talked about Goldberg and WCW and that stuff.
Yeah. I was big into WCW back in the day. Like my parents actually bought pay-per-views, like the big ones. Like
when they were $60.
They paid the big money for them. And we watched those and then, moved on to WCW. NWO was kind of my ending point.
Well, what they had back then, especially during that WCW and Attitude Era, was that air of unpredictability. Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. It was something they used to say, and it was true back then. Now it's not. And when it is, it's never good. Like, never when something happens unexpectedly is it usually good. AJ Styles in the Rumble? Good.
Seth Rollins cashing in the middle of the main event?
Good.
Yeah.
Then there are things that are not good, like Bray Wyatt sends Luke Harper to fight for him instead, makes it a handicap match somehow. They never explain how he changed the rules.
Or when that happened.
So it's like, are they keeping Bray Wyatt strong for WrestleMania? Sure. Who's he fighting?
And then they did nothing with him on Monday.
Yeah. So what is the point? It was pointless.
Yeah.
Absolutely pointless.
I was actually going to ask about that match because I really didn't understand why Brock Lesnar took Luke Harper to Suplex City and then that was it.
Yeah.
Which is sad, too, because I would booked right, Luke Harper versus Brock Lesnar would be a dream match for me. I love Luke Harper.
Yeah.
He's just a big, scary-looking guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brock Lesnar is legitimately a big, scary guy.
Yeah.
But the way they pulled it off on Roblox, I thought was just like, why?
It was almost a bait and switch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? To a lesser extent, of course, and a lot of the listeners out here are going to remember this. I think you guys might remember this. They had a phone-in vote on WCW, who should fight in the main event for the title. And Sting won. But Sting was not the one they wanted to win. So when Sting came out for the match, I think it was Goldberg, actually, attacked him from behind, beat him up, and then took the match anyway. And it's like, well, if you wanted him in the match to begin with, why did you give fans the option to vote for it? Do not bait and switch wrestling, especially if you're trying to sell a network.
Yeah.
Which I will give WWE credit for, all of their Taboo Tuesdays and Cyber Monday or Sundays and stuff like that. And they said that was the one thing that there was no kayfabe. If that person won, they had a story for it ready.
And that was a cool gimmick.
It was just kind of one of those things where they always made the result they wanted the best result.
Yeah.
So it's like Kane versus Undertaker tonight. Do you want it to be a Hell in a Cell? A submissions only match.
A hot dog on a pole.
Or
Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
Yeah.
What was the one they did recently? It was like 2 years ago. It was Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton Hell in a Cell. And if you had the WWE app, because it was before the network, you got a vote on the app to the who the referee was going to be. And it was three legends. The legends were,
I think I remember this,
Shawn Michaels, which everybody wanted that because Shawn Michaels trained Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Triple H's best friend. It was a big part of the storyline. Or Booker T. Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. Or Bob Backlund. Exactly. Yeah.
And Bob Backlund had no idea what he was doing. I don't think
he wasn't even there.
No, he was. He was just being crazy.
I mean, physically, mentally, probably not. But it was still a good show. Roblox wasn't, it was a fun experience. However, Let's talk about it real quick. You got a listing on the matches there. We can talk about them.
Yeah, I got it pulled up. The opening match was the New Day versus League of Nations,
which I actually missed that match. I forget what I was doing, but I came in late. I came laundry. In right after that match.
Yeah.
I was doing laundry. That's right. Thank you, Dalton. Washing my drawers.
Which New Day won because they ate their bootios and because Xavier Woods cheated. He distracted the ref, allowed the distraction, and the New Day gets the win.
If a heel cheats a heel, is he a face?
See, and that's the thing, is it's like, it's, no one is going, like, no one is really, everyone is cheering the New Day.
Yeah.
Like, there are pockets of people that are still doing the New Day sucks, like the super casual fans.
In cape.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But when they're paired up against the League of Nations, like, heel versus heel matches always get that weird, like, at least for me, maybe, and I'm the only one, but, like, they always give me a weird vibe, because it's like, there's no one to root for.
Yeah.
And so, but by default, like, I guess just them punting against League of Nations. This is what I thought was happening at, Royal Rumble when they did the Edge and Christian peep show.
Yeah.
The Cutting Edge peep show where they started calling out the League of Nations like, oh, is this the official? Like, they started as heels because they were tearing down Edge and Christian, who are beloved faces.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, here come the League of Nations. Maybe they're going to like do a turn that night.
Which they did that night.
They did kind of, but then they still came out and like insulted local sports teams and, like,
by the way, CJ, if you're listening, the New Day started as a heel team.
No, they started as a face team.
Yeah, well, they started as a heel team.
They started as a face team that everyone booed.
Yeah.
And then they became a heel team that everyone cheered.
Jesse, what's your favorite thing in the WWE right now other than Brock Lesnar?
New Day.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would say it's
WWE Tag Team Champions.
Honestly, at this point, like, I would say that I probably like the New Day more than Brock Lesnar.
I mean, I like the New Day's antics. I like the New Day's antics more, obviously.
Yeah.
They're more interesting to me than Brock Lesnar. But once that bell rings, I like to see a Brock Lesnar match.
Well, the problem with Brock Lesnar,
there's a legitimate chance someone might die every time.
Which is always fun, but it's the same reason that I don't like watching Kevin Owens anymore, because I don't like watching people I like lose.
Oh,
and that's just all that's happened with Brock and
good news,
Kevin Owens.
Brock Lesnar fought Bray Wyatt at Roadblock, and you know Bray Wyatt's not going to win anything.
he lost so hard he didn't even wrestle.
He lost without ever throwing a punch. Look at him. New Day retains. Thank God for them.
Yeah, which then got a follow up angle on Monday, which
we'll talk about here in a little bit.
We'll get to the Raw recap. Next up was Chris Jericho coming out, and now Chris Jericho is my top two all-time favorites.
He's near and dear to your heart.
He really is.
Yeah.
I know we were all really disappointed when he turned on AJ Styles because it was so telegraphed and we knew it was happening, but I have to disagree with just about everyone so far because I love it. It has turned out great. This is a different heel Chris Jericho than we've seen, and it's so entertaining, and he is just so good at everything.
He is, and I prefer to see him in a new role and a new angle than seeing him just being
him
nostalgia babyface Jericho.
Y2J Chris Jericho, yeah. Him as just the bitter, whiny, AJ Styles. Oh, it's so good.
When he put the suit on and did the whole
the
business Jericho,
right?
That was great. That was my favorite Jericho.
So good.
And
the Jericho tag team run, perfect. But so he comes out and he cuts a promo in Canada. They're in Toronto, and he basically just runs down the country because he's a hometown. He's like a returning hero.
He's Canadian.
He is. Okay. Yeah. He came out to, you know, big cheers. And then he just ran down Canada and almost like denounced his citizenship, finally getting booed. And then to finally get the crowd happy and to get him excited, that Canadian icon,
Sami Zayn,
the returning hero,
Kevin Owens,
Bret Hart,
Jack Swagger.
Oh damn!
What
comes out the all American American, the all Canadian, we the people.
The people.
Which, to be fair, like you pointed out, like in that promo, Chris Jericho did mention, he's like, you people loved it when, you
Jack
know,
Swagger
Jack Swagger
beat
me for the World Heavyweight Championship.
No, we didn't.
I did. I love, cause I honestly thought that was meant it was gonna get a Jack Swagger Chris Jericho feud and not Jack Swagger Big Show.
But
why?
Big Show needed something to do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the reason Swagger lost you know why he lost it all.
Well, that was after. That was before he even won it again. He was slated to win.
Wait, did he win the title again?
No. Well, before, like in the, when he was Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but I thought he won the title.
Right.
And then he got busted, and then all of his plans went out the window.
He won Elimination Chamber.
Is that when he got busted?
And that's when he got to face Alberto Del Rio. That was it when Zeb first came out.
Gotcha.
And he was going to win at WrestleMania, apparently.
Until.
And then he got arrested for the DUI and possession of marijuana.
Which was stupid of him.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Oh, so dumb. Yeah. So dumb. And I'm still mad at him for it because he could have been a huge.
Same thing with RVD. When RVD won the title, won both titles, and then had to drop him.
Oh, that was the worst. Yeah.
But Chris Jericho cuts this great promo. He's just bitter, jealous. Like, he's not the wannabe, like, you know, oh, you just want to be me. He is just flat out jealous that he's been busting his butt in this company for so long. And the fans now aren't chanting Y2J. They're chanting AJ Styles.
You do that really well.
He does it so much better, though.
Yeah.
That led to Jericho had a big moment on Raw, which I wanted to talk about when we get to Raw, but I just saw the video today of it, and it is rough.
Him and
Charles Robinson, like, ouch.
We'll get to that because that's a whole topic.
That's a little tease.
My favorite part of that match was at the very end of it, whenever Chris Jericho's walking walking back to the locker room, he sees a fan with the get well soon
Brent sign.
Yeah, and
he
tears
just
it up.
Takes it and tears it.
Doesn't even look back.
Just
walk by.
Also, to point out that he says he's the greatest icon in the history of Canada, the crowd chants, "We want Brett," and he says that you're never getting him again.
Oh,
yeah. So,
would you put Chris Jericho above or below Avril Lavigne in terms of importance to Canada's history?
Absolutely above.
You think so?
I know you're doing a bit, but absolutely above.
What is your favorite? Just off the topic, but for the funsies, what's your favorite Chris Jericho moment? Because mine is very, very clear to me. And I know a lot of people are going to say it should be when he came back or when he came the first time and ran down the Rock.
Yeah.
That historic night. Mm-hmm. Or maybe when he came out with Ralphus, because that was hilarious too.
Ralphus was great.
But my favorite Chris Jericho moment is when he came back with the lit up jacket and he came back as a face and he's running around the ring and they're cheering him and it goes on for so long the fans start to boo because he's being so patronizing.
He's just playing up the crowd.
He's just like, come on, baby.
Yeah.
And they eventually realize he's being a dick and then they start booing him. It's one of the greatest moments in wrestling.
They don't even boo him. They don't really boo him. They just stop cheering and he's still smiling and then he just leaves.
He does. He never says a word.
He's one of the best talkers in WWE history. He doesn't say a word. He's returning because he had the Save Us Y2J thing where he came back to face Randy Orton.
The code breaker.
Yeah.
Then he left again. Then those weird, like, weird vignettes with
the ones
creepy...
that were clearly for Sting, I think. And then
that was going to be an Undertaker thing, I think.
Although in the cabin.
Yeah, the cabin.
Wait, was Jericho the one with, like, the kids in the school room?
Yeah.
I still don't understand that.
And then it's just smiley, happy Y2J, and then eventually he doesn't even talk anymore, but then he goes heel again to the one.
And that was
thing.
Fantastic,
so
by the
good.
Way. That was good.
Yeah. It's a surprising pick, for me. Well, not really when I say who he was feuding, but the whole CM Punk feud from WrestleMania 20.
Where he's like trying to get him to drink.
28, yeah.
Brings up his alcoholic father and all that.
Yeah, 28. WrestleMania 28 into Extreme Rules. That was just a really, really good string of pay-per-view matches. That should have been the main event, but Twice in a Lifetime happened, so.
Yep.
Twice in a Lifetime.
I'm partial to it. Only because I was there live, but I don't remember. It was one of the Elimination Chambers. It was up in St. Louis when I get to see him beat The Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Championship.
That's pretty fantastic.
But that's when Shawn Michaels came up through the grate to cost Undertaker because he wanted the rematch at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That one. I have to say, though, like his matches with Rey Mysterio over the Intercontinental Championship.
Ooh.
When he takes he takes the mask off. As he's trying to do the 619, and he just like rips it off. It's one of the great finishes. Like, it wasn't like a. It was just so good.
Jericho was amazing in WCW too.
Yeah.
If you have the network, if Roadblock sold you on the network, go back and watch his performances on there. The Man of 1004 Holds alone.
That's another really good moment.
Do you have a favorite Chris Jericho moment?
I liked him
at Roadblock when he
him beating Jack Swagger.
The last Chris Jericho I remembered was just the Y2J stuff, you know, back in the WCW days, because that's when I watched
Armbar.
He had like 8 different arm bars.
Yeah.
Also the him putting Shawn Michaels through the Geritron 5000 and killing Y2J.
Yeah.
That was
Has anybody ever watched his online short? But I'm Chris Jericho.
No, I keep meaning to.
Oh, it's so great. You need to watch it. It's hilarious. Yeah.
But so,
we're moving on with Roblox.
Yeah. So he beats Jack Swagger. Really good match.
Swagger deserves better.
Swagger deserves better. Jericho, I just, I felt bad because, excuse me, the crowd kind of didn't really know how to react. Like, we the people is, like, we talked about the other day. When you said that, you know, Daniel Bryan wasn't popular, the Yes chant was popular.
Yeah.
The best example that I can now think of, even after you've admitted that you've changed your mind and you were wrong, is We the People and Jack Swagger.
Why are you looking like I'm, like you, like.
Like I just insulted him. Yeah, no, he admits that he's.
It's just funny. Sorry.
But like, We the People is huge. They even did it in Canada, but Jack Swagger really got no love off of that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who Jack Swagger is feuding with or whether he's face or heel. When he does We the People, the crowd does it with him. Yeah. Then they start booing him.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Jericho won clearly because they're setting up for that AJ Styles match at WrestleMania, which is going to be great. I just hate that they already gave away three of those matches.
Yeah, like Jericho versus AJ Styles would be a huge match anywhere. Yeah. But when you've already done it three times,
yeah,
it's hard to get excited for it. And there's nothing they can do to make me excited. They can't make it. I mean, like, it's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
But there's no storyline that they can do that's going to get me super jazzed. There's no stipulation they can do.
Maybe it's just because I'm such a fan of Y2J, but like this character work that he's doing right now is making me excited to see another match between the two.
Yeah. Is he selling it to you more than AJ Styles is?
Yes.
Is Styles holding up his end? And if he's not, do you blame him or the WWE's writing for it?
I think he's holding up his end in what, like, WWE expects him to do. Like, I don't think they signed him as someone who they're going to give a microphone to and let talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Jericho.
Like Jericho, yeah. So, I mean, as a foil to Chris Jericho's mic work, like, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Like, if it was him, and I'm not saying, and I don't think AJ Styles is bad on the microphone at all. Like, he, you know, some of the stuff he did in New Japan was, and
solid.
And even his later run in TNA was really good.
Yeah. But he'll never be a Chris Jericho.
No, yeah.
He just won't be.
And that's just because, it's unfair to expect anyone to be.
Yeah.
It's Chris Jericho. He's on another level.
He is. And Dalton, this is for you. I know you saw this because I'm pretty sure Asa sent it to us, or he sent it to me or somebody. The Edge and Christian show where AJ Styles was on it.
Oh, the Mullet Club?
They show Bullet Club on there and show a picture of the Bullet Club.
Will WWE talk about it?
Yeah. And it says Bullet Club. And I love the look on AJ's face. He has that, Christmas look. Yeah. And it was fantastic.
It's going to happen. They won't be able to say Bullet Club, but it's going
to
happen.
Well, the fact that they would even acknowledge it to me is insane.
It's New Japan. They have no issue mentioning New Japan when it's beneficial to them.
Because even later on in that video, they're like, Will, we mentioned the company that AJ Styles worked for from 2004 to 2012 or whatever it was?
Hell no. They're
like,
not going to do that.
No.
Even though they sent Christian over there once, which was also insane.
Christian didn't get sent over there.
Christian got released.
Christian got released.
No. I'm talking about when they agreed to let Ric Flair come to the Hall of Fame induction, and they sent Christian back to TNA for Slammiversary.
Yeah.
Just to come out and say congratulations, TNA, whatever.
Yeah.
The fact that he was working for WWE and they literally sent him to TNA, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, but no, I'm well aware that Christian left WWE, went to TNA, and did better than he did in TNA.
I feel like that's
the instant classic.
That has to be a sore spot for WWE higher ups that, like, fine, you're not going to give me anything to do other than being the first person to main event Raw and SmackDown in the same week. I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
I don't know.
There's going to be somebody that's fact checking right now.
Maybe.
Come on, Hunter.
Come on, Barry.
Yeah. Hunter usually comes through with the corrections.
Come on, Aaron Powell. There's someone.
But I really do think that he was like the first person to main event Raw and SmackDown the same week. But yeah, so it's,
yeah, he's also the first, who are we talking about again?
Christian.
Oh no, I got nothing for him. I was going to make a point about something.
He should have been a way bigger deal, but for some reason WWE just didn't like him as much as Edge.
I liked Christian more than Edge. I always did.
There's a reason Edge has a Hall of Fame ring.
Well, Christian will too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, he will, but I mean, Edge was always consistently good.
He was also in Highlander.
God, anyway.
He was?
I know.
Go on, Ace.
The Revival, Dash and Dawson beat Enzo and Cass to retain the NXT championship.
That's another match that I think it's very telling that they won, because I feel like since they won, you have to send Enzo and Cass up eventually.
Yeah.
You can't have them keep losing like this. I know they don't need the title.
Yeah.
But at some point you have to give them the title.
Well, to me, I really don't think you do. I think the Revival they can do more with the championships as characters. And whereas Enzo and Cass are strong enough characters on their own that them kind of constantly chasing is good enough. Cause even on NXT tonight, they crowned new number one contenders.
Who was it?
It's American Alpha.
I was just about
Gable and Jordan.
Okay. Gable and Jordan.
I was just about to say, because I didn't get to watch NXT yet. I cannot wait for Revival versus American Alpha.
The world's second greatest tag team.
Which we'll talk about. That's actually a really good joke. The card for NXT TakeOver is stupid.
It's stacked.
Stupid.
I just saw they announced Asuka versus Bayley.
Yep.
That is a huge match, and I never thought I would say that about a women's match, but not because they don't deserve it, but just because the WWE makes it so.
WWE does. NXT does not.
NXT, and they do a fantastic job of it.
It's like last year. Good luck following that Bayley match, Undertaker.
Which he didn't. Other than the fact that he's the Undertaker.
Right. I don't think that Enzo and Cassidy need the championships. I do think that, I really feel like that the fact that they had this match on the network special is just so people who only really watch the main roster can get a taste of who they are.
Yeah.
So then when they do eventually come up.
That way you don't have rednecks being like, who's Soft?
Because the way SmackDown, their name's Soft?
Who's Soft?
The way SmackDown played out, I kind of think there might be a multi-team number one contender match for the tag titles.
I agree. And I would be fine with that.
And I think that they'll put Enzo and Cass in that.
I'm getting flipped off by Dalton now, apparently. Big Cass, by the way. You can't teach that.
You can't teach
that. He got so good. Mm-hmm. So quickly. Like.
Yeah, that's a guy that.
Really studied
that
the craft.
That developmental system clearly works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Enzo, too. And even Carmella. I remember when Carmella first came in there, a lot of people hated her and that thought, you know, that she was just another pretty face because she is a beautiful woman. Right. I love her.
She's hot as hell.
You can't teach that either.
You can't teach that either.
But she's also gotten better. Like, I could see Carmella doing well.
That match she had with Bayley was really good.
It was good. Yeah. And she's in good promo work. Like, why? When I compare her to Eva Marie. Who Eva Marie is also gorgeous, but I feel like Carmella's better looking and a better wrestler and better on the mic. So why is Eva Marie still here?
Because Total Divas needs ratings.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that show.
Yeah, we all have.
Let's just move on before we get talking about that.
Following up from that, Natalia did a promo about, you know, dedicating her match to Brett.
Now, I'm glad we have Jesse on the show tonight because despite the fact that Jesse thinks she's the ugliest woman in professional wrestling, possibly even the world, I thought Natalia looked amazing on that show. Like, seriously, and Jesse, of course, I'm joking. Jesse doesn't actually think that. I just want to point that out.
I love how you're giving Jesse crap for that when you do nothing but make horse jokes about the woman that she wrestled. You monster.
That's accurate. And to be fair, isn't she also the one that you told me her entire shtick for a while was farting on people?
Not farting on people, just farting. She would be in the back. She would just be farting. Yeah, it was.
And it
terrible.
Was unfortunate. Like
that's another thing where it's like, who did she piss off?
In a in a list of embarrassed and things that make you embarrassed to be a wrestling fan.
That was way up.
That
there.
Was up there because like the only people that find stuff like that, I could see Zach Price going, "Oh, that's hilarious."
Yeah,
it's the one thing he gets.
Yeah,
he gets that.
It's Zach Price and Vince McMahon.
But she looked. So incredible. And I don't know that you're thinking, well, stop being sexy, Shannon. But I just want to.
I was going to say, it's like, they also had a really good match.
I always saw Natalia as the wrestling aspect of the Divas thing and never the looks because it's obviously important in WWE that you be a supermodel if you're going to get pushed. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to.
Kelly.
Yeah. And I always thought Natalia was an amazing wrestler and I thought she was, you know, pretty, but she looked amazing. And I thought immediately, how is she not a thing
right
now? Why are they not using her more? And then they had a fantastic match, which went, I think, 15 minutes almost.
13:30, yeah.
And it was great, except for
Ric Flair.
The stupid finish with Grandpa out there outside. Natalia has her in the sharpshooter, lets it go to argue with Ric Flair.
Yeah.
If this was I'm gonna play bad or Booker here. Dalton, give me a second.
All right.
If you're a new diva on the roster, if you are Eva Marie, and you let go of your hold to argue with someone, that makes sense because you're new. You don't know what you're doing. You're learning the ropes. But if you're Natalia, a graduate of the Heart Dungeon who's been around forever, why would you ever let go of the hold to argue with someone on the outside? It is a stupid mistake. It's bad booking. It's terrible writing. And it really made a great match leave a bad taste in my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I hated it. And I hated every aspect
honestly,
of it.
Honestly, like, that could be a huge, like, down the line, like, a Charlotte Natalia feud could be huge, especially considering both of their heritages.
Flair versus Hart.
Yeah.
They played that angle at NXT. I don't want to say
one of their NXT.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like NXT Revival or something like that, where Ric Flair was in Charlotte's corner and Jim Knight. Oh, wait a minute. Bret Hart was in.
Yeah.
Natalya's Corner.
Not yeah. Jindy Anvil.
And that's something that's a thing that I would not mind at all if they repeated just like beat for beat on the main roster, because that's a huge match. Like,
if you don't think that Sasha Banks is walking out of WrestleMania with that title,
we'll have a prediction show.
But let's keep going here, because we're already 30 minutes in. Yeah. Can you believe that?
We still got a few matches.
Next up was Brock Lesnar versus Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt.
We talked about that already.
Apparently, I have seen from not a news source, so take this with just a boulder of salt. I've seen that Bray Wyatt might be injured.
Really?
I've seen a couple people on my friends list, like, talking about it, saying that there's something wrong with his back. So this is their way of kind of keeping him on screen without having to have him actually do anything.
Well, yeah, when you're carrying that worse of a win-loss record, your back would start hurting too.
Spend so much time on it.
I don't understand what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. Like, I hope that's true, just because otherwise it's a waste of Bray Wyatt.
Exactly.
But I also don't want Bray Wyatt to be injured.
Yeah.
But it was a total bait and switch.
100%. Like, they said it was a handicap match, but he wasn't even on the apron.
Yeah. And the match itself is what it was. It's every Brock Lesnar match. It's the guy gets a little bit of offense in, and then it's suplex, 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 suplex.
Yeah.
It sent the crowd home happy. Whatever.
Except it wasn't even the last match.
It was there. Well, yeah. It was there. It was a thing.
You got to count along to the suplexes. And
if you thought that was the most insulting thing on the show, wait, there's more later.
Then it was a really surprising match, but I was fine with it.
Stardust.
Like, Sami Zayn versus Stardust. Anytime Stardust is on a TV screen, I'm happy. I love that man.
Are you guys ready for Cody Rhodes to come back?
Nope.
No.
I guess I'm the only one.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I would be happy if he did, just because I'm trying to think of the way to
phrase it. If he gets a push for it?
Yeah. If it means that they're going to do something with him.
Yeah.
Then absolutely. But at the same time, like, I think Stardust is entertaining. It looks like he's having fun with it.
When I first saw Stardust, you know, as a part of the Goldust thing,
mm-hmm.
I hated it immediately, because I thought, Cody Rhodes is so good, don't try to make him Dustin.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be Dustin. He can do his own thing.
Yeah.
But he's made Stardust his.
Absolutely.
And he's great at it. Although I do miss the Cody Rhodes that would come out with the hood, and he'd pop the hood. I mean, I really love that. Because that was just a hoss right there. That was just a machine.
Cody Rhodes. The one, now, before, like, with the face mask?
No, after the face mask.
Okay.
When he teamed up with Goldust.
Like, the Brotherhood.
Yeah. Before he was Stardust.
Oh, that was such a lost thing, too.
That was one of the best tag teams that never got the moment they won against,
The Shield. I was at that match.
The Shield with Dusty Rhodes out there.
Yeah.
That is a classic moment that will go down in history. That was
amazing. Except no one will remember it, because now look what both of them are doing.
Dusty?
No.
Didn't you hear?
No, Goldust and Stardust.
Oh, okay.
Like, look what they are doing now. It's like, that should have been, the same thing with Ziggler's Survivor Series win. That should have been a career defining moment of, oh, that's when he became the
guy.
Don't worry. We'll get there today.
Don't worry, baby bird.
I have a theory on that.
We've got so much feed.
So Sami Zayn beat Stardust. Not surprising. Probably with Neville being out, I could definitely see Stardust taking a spot in that multi-man Intercontinental Championship.
And we'll get to Neville again a little bit later.
But yeah, so Sami Zayn gets a solid win, since he just debuted again on the main roster. Really good match.
Also, I just want to point out, if you ever had any doubt that NXT is vital to the WWE structure, look at how many people are in the WWE succeeding right now that are from NXT recently. New Day, Kevin Owens, Neville, Sami Zayn's heading up there. Like, before
Wyatt.
You're missing all, yeah.
The Shield. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many people that are, pretty much the WWE is almost entirely NXT now.
Yeah.
Almost entirely.
Well, that's how developmental should be. Like,
it is. They're doing it right. They're doing it great. Between that and the Performance Center, they have such a good structure set up right now. It's ridiculous. If only they had a similar structure for writers.
Or Vince McMahon.
Who we agreed has passed away years ago, but he's...
He's just
a zombified corpse.
Yeah. Because of all the chemicals.
Yeah. All the drugs and steroids.
What happened if he took his shirt off and he was just crying?
There's just a little brain inside of it.
That's why he always wears the beater whenever he wrestles now.
He just comes out like, shame.
So and then the last thing from Roadblock was, of course, the main event, Dean Ambrose versus Triple H.
And here's where I have a problem. Here's where I'm going to get angry just for a second. Yeah. The match was great. Triple H is great.
Great match. Really entertaining. Yeah. And it kind of followed the formula of every good Triple H match, where it starts slow, but it really builds that pace going into the middle of the match, and then it just hits the fan.
It's a story.
Yeah.
He's a storyteller in the ring. Triple H, for all the crap we give him,
fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
And Ambrose told a story as well, going out, even though, like, I kind of had a problem with it-ish, that, you know, Ambrose spent a lot of time going after Triple H's repaired quad.
Yeah.
Because he's had problems with that, notably, even though he doesn't really have a submission finisher, but he broke out the figure four and sharpshooter.
So, as opposed to
just crazy brawler, like the match that he had with Triple H is going to be 100% different than the match that he's going to have with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it just, to me, that shows just how versatile of a guy Dean Ambrose is.
But then came the ending, and we all watched this live.
The first ending.
Yeah. The first fall, the Pro Wrestling Unscripted crew. We watched it here, at Gaming Grounds, 709 Broadway. Jesse, can you pre-order there?
Yeah. You pre-order games.
Okay. we all watched it. Minus Allie, because she's in New York, but Zach Price was here.
Yay.
And anyway, Ambrose hits Dirty Deeds, or whatever he calls it now. Yep. I think it's still Dirty Deeds, right? Gets the pin, and we all expected a kick out.
Correct.
Well, and then they hit the three, and we went, oh, what? Are you serious? Correction. Oh, my God, that's incredible. Except I think Asa said he was just reserved the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I did not. Like, I was the only one that didn't jump up.
Yeah, that's true.
I stayed seated.
Well, like, as I jumped up, because I was playing something. I'm trying to remember what I was playing during that match. I was messing around with the division, I think, at the same time. And as I got up to cheer, I started to raise out of my seat, and I saw the referee waving his hands. And I thought, how? What could they he pinned him clean.
Yep.
What could have possibly happened? And then they said Ambrose's foot was under the rope. Never in the 33 years I've been on this earth and as a wrestling fan have I ever heard that used as an excuse in any match.
To restart a match. Referees have broken up counts like that before, and same with like submission moves. They only draw attention to it when it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
It's one of those
it's
things.
It's lazy storytelling.
It really is. It's just one of those things where it's like, oh, we could just do this.
Like, that was the best thing they could think of in booking.
Right.
That was the thing that they thought, this will work.
I think it was meant to keep people happy in the fact that Dean Ambrose hit his finisher once and Triple H did not kick out.
He pinned Triple H clean.
Yeah.
He pinned him clean.
You know what it reminds me of? And it's probably going to have the same follow through as it did originally when it happened.
I think I know where you're going.
Chris Jericho pinning Triple H clean in the middle of the ring.
And Triple H.
And then Triple H. Hunter was in the store the other day, and we talked about it because it...
No, Hunter Hendricks.
Hunter Hendricks.
Not, we keep talking about Triple H. Well, no. Hunter was in the store the
Hunter
other day.
Hunter was here.
Well, Xavier told everybody about how cool the store was, so now they're just randomly coming in.
Like, Triple H, what are you doing here? Would you like a laser-focused energy drink?
It was Double H.
It tastes like your sweat.
And he mentioned how he actually ended up really enjoying that storyline because it was, you know... authority thrown around his weight to, you know, reverse the match. Okay, you reverse the decision. Well, you're fired anyway. It ended up being a really good story for Triple H.
Not so much for Chris Jericho.
But even though, and the same kind of reaction, the crowd was ecstatic to see this young guy, up and comer, beat Triple H, an established world champion. Nope, JK, sorry about you.
We're gonna use this one rule we've never used before.
Yeah, and then but instead of it just being over and the decision reversed, they restarted the match and Triple H put him down with a pedigree.
Because Dean Ambrose was reckless, and I think that's his character, is that he will sacrifice his body, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually makes sense considering what happened on Monday. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, he comes back in the ring on the 9 count, because we assumed he was gonna get counted out. But he made it back on a 9. Triple H
immediately hits him.
Hit the pedigree, and that was it. 1, 2, 3, it's over. The only thing I'm glad about is that they didn't then have... Well, no!
No, and language?
I almost yelled out F-words really loudly, because I just remembered. I just triggered, and I remembered that Triple H then pinned Ambrose with his feet on the ropes right in front of the referee.
He rolled him up after.
But Ambrose kicked out. The ref didn't break the pin.
And the ref literally looked...
Was right there staring at it.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? Is when tag team wrestlers, the good guys would try to go for the tag, the ref would get distracted, he'd make the tag, but then they'd put him out, it's like, no, I didn't see the tag. Yeah. And while they're doing that, the bad guys switch, and the ref doesn't say anything. And every time I would see that, I would go, are you kidding me, ref? Are you blind?
Or whenever the heel team, like, the ref would be reprimanding the good guys for, oh, I didn't see the tag. One of the heel guys would just do, like, they would just clap real loud.
Like the sound.
And then the sound, and then the referee would then just, oh, well, I heard it at least.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like they have to put the refs in like a Harry Potter-esque, like, little stairwell. And be like, no, you guys don't get to watch the show. You guys just go out there and ref.
Well, Charles Robinson would agree with you. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. So Roadblock as a whole, good show. pointless, but it was good. It was entertaining.
Entertaining. Before we do Raw, let's just do NXT just real quick, because that'll take no time at all.
Go ahead.
Which really the big things coming out of NXT were, which one thing they did, because last week's NXT, they had all this stuff built for it, and then they started with Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe, 2 out of 3 falls. Samoa Joe wins, but it took the entire hour. So during that match, they, like, the announcers were like, well, we had a number one tag team contenders champion, match scheduled. This is gonna have to get pushed to next week. Like, they played it like they didn't expect these guys to go a full, you know, 50 minutes. Which I thought was really cool. I thought that was an interesting take
on
it.
Like pro wrestling unscripted.
like it wasn't.
Can we sue? We can sue, right?
We can sue them.
No,
yeah.
No, we cannot.
We can sue.
Let's go on Reddit and ask for lawyer advice. I heard people do that.
I haven't established our trademark yet, guys. We can't sue.
Gimbal.
You had one job.
Well, he's had like 8 jobs.
So many. Yeah.
We were going to become writers for WWE and maybe try long-term booking. They've never heard of it before.
Really, the only stuff to come out of NXT of note was Jesse Sorensen, I think, made his debut.
Wait, Jesse Sorensen? Why does that name sound familiar?
He was the guy who wrestled in NXT, or in TNA.
Yeah.
Broke was he the guy that got his neck broke by Ion Zima or whatever his name was?
I don't
know.
DJ Zima?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had his neck broken. Dixie Carter promised him that he would always have a job there. 2 weeks later, he was fired.
I remember that. Well, yeah. See, I always heard that the reason that was is because he wanted to wrestle. And he pushed for wrestling. Like, they wanted to use him in a non-wrestling capacity, but he wanted to wrestle, so they let him go because of that reason. Either way it goes, it was a bad decision. And I'm honestly surprised he is wrestling. I didn't know he was still doing it.
Yeah.
So that's great.
He lost in a really fast match to Tommaso Ciampa.
I don't know who that is.
He's a guy who's been working with NXT pretty regularly now. He's pretty big in ROH.
He was a big deal in ROH. ROH. I saw him whenever I was at a show like 2 years ago. He started with Johnny Gargano during the Dusty Tag Team Classic, because those two were the ones that they made it look like they were grabbing talent without signing them, really, like just offering them like a one night
type thing.
Yeah, and it was a big deal because
he was James Storm.
Yeah, but Tommaso Ciampa has an amazing, like, it's Darren Young's finisher, but it's out of a powerbomb instead of the Yeah, he's a super, super talented guy.
I'm sorry, I just depressed myself thinking about James Storm. He was in an NXT show once.
Yeah.
Once.
I don't know if they're building him up or just building up for him, for someone to beat him and be legit. But either way, I'm a fan of his, and
isn't he like a former? He's a veteran, isn't he?
And oh, he's been wrestling for a while.
But no, like a vet, like a war veteran.
Oh, Jesse Sorensen is.
Yeah, he was trained by the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that was the big thing. That was another big thing too. Is like, oh, they have this war veteran who broke his neck working for them, and then they fired him.
Yeah. All right. So, it's all coming back to me now.
They should make that his character in NXT. Like, here is a war vet who broke his neck and another company got let go. I'm here to kick ass now.
Yeah.
But then they would have to acknowledge.
Yeah,
the other company
will never do that. No.
Just say it was an indie company like they did with James Storm.
Sting's been out of the game for years. No,
he's just been wandering the streets.
He was just wandering the streets looking for justice for 12 years.
And then he lost one match and decided,
justice
overrated.
Sucks. Yeah.
He was looking for, he thought it was going to be Sid Justice.
Jesus. So Sid had the dangly leg, so he couldn't fight him.
We'll get to Raw. But so, Bayley and Asuka beat Ava Marie and Nia Jax in a tag match, which they were celebrating. William Regal comes out, says that Bayley exemplifies what a champion should be. Asuka has done her part to elevate the best women's division in any wrestling promotion. And so at the TakeOver match, it was made Bayley versus Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship.
And I saw the response by Asuka versus Bayley, where Asuka turns around and looks at her and like licks her lips.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka is so good. If you can, and I don't want to be like racist. You should never start a statement off with that.
Yeah, I'm not racist, but insert any racist statement.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at the difference in how Hideo Itami has done in WWE versus Asuka, it's like night and day. Hideo Itami was finding his feet right before he got hurt, but Asuka from day one has come in and just knocked it out of the park every time. So Asuka versus Bayley, I think is going to be
even in
match of the year candidate already.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Every match from that card is probably a strong contender, could be a strong contender.
Good luck following that, WrestleMania.
But even in Japan, like, Itami was never a super charismatic guy. He was a very much kind of like a Daniel Bryan, great wrestler.
A Dean Malenko, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he was doing well for himself. But so yeah, that's going to be a stupid, fun, awesome match. Austin Aries came out, did a promo on Baron Corbin. And then the American Alpha beat the Vaudevillains to be number one contender, for the tag team championship.
That's going to be a great match. Revival versus American Alpha.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited for that.
That's
going to be solid.
Suplex City.
Hard wrestling right there.
I wish I can remember. Maybe it'll say it in here.
Shinsuke versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
That one's going to happen.
No, the Chaos Theory German suplex that Gable uses as his finisher. So pretty. Just, he's like, does the rollover where they usually ended in a pin, but he keeps going and then German suplexes him. So pretty.
It's going to be a good match. It's going to be a good card. NXT, what is it? It's TakeOver Dallas, right?
TakeOver Dallas.
It's going to be fantastic.
Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe 2 for the, which that is one of my favorite matches to happen so far this year.
And this is the weekend of WrestleMania?
Weekend of WrestleMania. Same thing as they did last year.
Do you think Vince either is pissed off or doesn't know that Triple H is doing it?
Has no idea.
At some point, like, Vince is going to turn on the TV and go, what the hell's this?
They're at family dinner and he's like, what are you doing, Hunter? He's like, I have this like house show.
Yeah, we're putting on a little thing.
Is it in Dallas? It's in Houston. It's not in Dallas.
It's somewhere close. I think it's on the outskirts of Dallas.
Yeah.
I want to say it may be in Arlen.
Yeah. Arlen.
Which it's at the Texans training
which
camp.
Isn't a real place.
It's yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be just a stacked card.
Yeah.
But yeah, Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe. Nakamura's NXT debut against Sami Zayn. More than likely Baron Corbin versus Austin Aries.
I'll say it right now, and I'm gonna go out on a limit.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be better than WrestleMania.
Wrestling wise, yes.
Yeah.
Well, on a lot of different, like, I'm more excited for the people in this show because I've gotten a real emotional attachment to a lot of these people, like Asuka, Bayley, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor. To me, and maybe it's just because I'm a wrestling fan.
And it's less predictable.
It's less predictable. I don't know who's going to win these matches.
Yeah.
When I think of WrestleMania, I know Roman Reigns is going to beat Triple H for that goddamn title.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me happy.
And NXT really kind of feels like the WWF, you know, anything can happen.
It's like what WWF used to be.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, everything they do is pretty safe. Like, they don't go, like, crazy out of their way surprises. Like,
Ava Marie never did win the title.
Yet. yet. But yeah, no, so but it is one of those things where the matches will just be, they are going out to prove a point. Every single person on that card is going to go out to try to prove a point, and they're going to leave a mark, and it's going to be great, so.
On the not great front, and speaking of stacked, mm-hmm. we'll move over to Monday Night Raw real quick, because we got about 15 minutes left. We'll talk about a couple things. On Raw, a lot of stuff happened. When I say stacked, I want to talk about Stephanie McMahon. She slapped Dolph Ziggler, emasculated him. And then they put Ziggler, and Ziggler came out. He cut a good promo. It was excited. It was a good promo. It wasn't a great promo, but it was a good promo.
There's something about him when he's on the main roster, like on Raw, versus something that he does, like for the website.
Yeah.
Like there's
or
just
Zack Ryder.
There's like
or...
there's like a fire on the network stuff that he does, or like the website stuff that seems to be. Missing-ish?
More of a personality.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think it's kind of what he said in his promo, where he said, how many times can you come to work and get threatened to be fired before you stop caring? I think it's similar of how many times can you reach for that brass ring, that gold ring,
mm-hmm.
and get knocked down before you kind of go, all right, I might as well
I'll just
settle into my role, and then I'll give more of an effort to the people that matter instead of Vince.
Yeah, so Dolph Ziggler came out to confront Triple H after Triple H got booed the hardest during a great promo.
Yeah, we watched that today. It was pretty rough.
It was a rough promo, but he got booed the most when he said, you people love Roman Reigns. No, that's...
Well, he got booed because it was Triple H, not because of Roman Reigns.
Okay, Vince. whenever you got to tell him, Kevin.
You know, it's the one time that
make his eyes blues, damn it!
It was the one time that I thought CJ made a relevant comment about wrestling, because at the end of the promo, he was like, wow, way to make everybody want to eat a gun. And I was like, I want to see that show up on Kayfabe, knew that there was a suicide spike after that promo. Because it was rough. It was
Yeah,
so
Dalton
rough.
Was like, well, it makes me feel bad about my life. And I was like, speak for yourself.
Because it was just like, he was going hard.
Yeah,
like,
it was vicious.
Triple
like,
H had
tried,
no, yeah.
And you're going to get that for the rest of the build because they need you to boo Triple H and cheer Roman Reigns. And what's going to end up happening is they're going to cheer Triple H and boo Roman Reigns.
You know, he should just keep beating the crap out of Roman Reigns because that worked really well the first time to get him booed.
I mean,
damn it.
He should. I'm pretty sure at this point, Triple H needs to come out and just start kicking puppies.
Right.
He should come out and just say, here's a box of puppies Roman Reigns gave me.
You know how to get him booed? It's like, you can cheer me if you want, but please just boo me. He's going to beat me anyway. He's going to be the champion, and he's not going to drop the belt for 2 years.
You want to talk about...
That's how you get someone to boo him.
You want to cheer a champion? Cheer Roman Reigns. He's going to beat me 1, 2, 3.
Finger poke of doom.
Oh, I would watch Raw the next Monday, but I would not be happy about
it. Yes, you would.
A couple of things happened, but the most exciting thing, New Day turned face from the looks of it.
Yeah, pretty much official.
Because they got cheered the whole time.
Yeah.
No matter what they did.
And then there was a really extended beat down.
Yeah. And the crowd was so uncomfortable.
I think the crowd was cheering, then they booed the beating, and then they deflated. And then they were just watching this beat down.
Because it kept happening.
One of the great spots from that match, by the way, when Big E went for the shoulder, missed, and then Alberto Del Rio did the double stomp on the outside.
Yeah.
Hard looking. Yeah. I mean, oh my God.
I hate his double stomp.
Also,
it's vicious.
Also worth pointing out that this is the first Raw ever to start with a match, it feels like, instead of a 20-minute authority promo.
They save that for later.
Yeah.
You gotta get the big numbers.
I want that to be another kayfabe news article.
It's gonna be faction warfare at WrestleMania. So the way they worded it made me think it's going to be a 4-on-3 handicap match.
Wait, faction warfare. So it's going to be Los Boricuas versus the Nation of Domination versus Disciples of Apocalypse?
You're not, if you combine the Disciples of Apocalypse with Los Boricuas, that's pretty much it.
And then the Nation of Domination.
We'll see how that build goes. It's going to be entertaining because it's the New Day. And
it's going to be 3-on-3.
It's impossible for the New Day to be entertaining, but it sounds like it's going to be, it's at least going to be 3-on-3, but I think it's the way they worded it made it seem like it's going to be 4-on-3.
Do you think they'll add a new member in Cody Rhodes?
No.
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze would be great, but I don't see them doing
it. No, they won't.
If anybody, come on. Again, I don't want to sound racist.
The world's strongest unicorn?
They'll find a black guy to put with it.
Well, dang it. Titus O'Neil's out.
But who can they pick?
R-Truth is with Goldust.
R-Truth with Goldust. Mark Henry's already done it. Yeah.
Titus O'Neil suspended.
Apollo Crews.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Why do you get me excited for things that aren't going to happen ever?
Why is it when you pick bad booking, sometimes I like it?
Because that was actually good booking.
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
But again, we don't think that's what should happen. No. That's just what if, because Vince is going to insist that it's probably got to be a black guy.
Norman Smiley.
Oh, just all he does is that dance on the apron for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I love Norman Smiley.
Ambrose Lesnar had a stare down where Ambrose pulled out a crowbar.
Oh, speaking of which, just real quick. So Mick Foley was in a backstage segment, and I think they're just sweet talking to him to get to Noelle, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
She's a looker.
It's something I've been trying on Twitter.
Mick Foley gave Dean Ambrose his barbed wire bat.
Yeah.
Passed the torch.
Yeah.
And if anybody, I mean, Mick Foley and Dean Ambrose, the more I thought about it, the more I thought Dean Ambrose is very much a modern day Mick Foley in the sense that storyline perspective, he'll do crazy things to win.
Right.
But obviously he's nowhere near the stuntman that Mick Foley was. I mean that in the most loving way.
Yeah, no, someone pointed out that it's weird. Two things that are weird about that is one, why you have Mick Foley talk about a WrestleMania match on the same time that Shane McMahon confronts The Undertaker about a Hell in the Cell match. Like, you don't think he's got any tips for him, maybe? And then also,
Shane sees him backstage. He's like, hey, Mick, I'm going to fight The Undertaker. What do you got? You know, I don't remember many of our fights.
for some reason, there's a gap there.
Blacks he's like, out.
For some reason, I want to say don't get on top of the cell.
And then he goes, bang, and walks away.
And then the other thing was like, how are you going to mention that? He's like, well, why did you jump off the cage? Like, they kind of acknowledge the fact that that was a planned thing instead of just like, why did you get up after being thrown off the cage?
Yeah.
And so that was just kind of a weird.
So my favorite thing to come from that was I was on like scrolling through like the pages I like on Facebook of wrestling, and one of them had like a little meme. It was Legend of Zelda when he gets the Master Sword, but the like wizard was Mick Foley, Dean Ambrose was Link, and then it was the bat as the sword. I was like, I'll take it. That's cute.
And instead of the doo 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 noise, it was just.
Next up on Raw was we got Ryback versus Sin Cara.
Who cares?
Moving on.
I disagree, because I care, because Sin Cara looked sick. That new outfit he has with the all black, and he kind of looks like Black Panther.
Really?
Very much so.
I need to look up a picture of
it. You do. It wasn't a bad match, it's just kind of...
Well, again, I've said it
before. I don't care about this feud.
I think Ryback is underappreciated.
Because on SmackDown, I would disagree with that. On SmackDown, Kalisto officially accepted Ryback's WrestleMania challenge.
Jesse, what do you think of Ryback? You like Ryback, don't you?
What do you think about Ryback's?
He's a big, strong guy.
He is a big, strong guy, but he's never been entertaining.
The knees in the corner are more impressive than CM Punk's.
So what's next?
Next up was the Hunter set, was the Triple H Stephanie segment, that Dolph Ziggler interrupted.
Which, you knew what was gonna happen. Ziggler's gonna show some heart and then he's gonna lose.
And that's exactly what happened. I have to hope against hope, and I know I'm just setting myself up for more disappointment that this is something bigger for Ziggler. He has proven that he could be the guy. That Survivor Series win that he took Roman Reigns' place.
You mean
and then
the
they
one
just completely...
where he should have made him a star forever?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
But instead they buried him quickly in favor of John Cena?
Yes.
Okay, I remember that one.
I
remember that one.
In my heart, it's just like, no, they're going to do something good with it. Like, maybe have him, like, maybe that point where they said, you know, you could do better if you had the right backing. Maybe have him then go to the authority. I'm sick of heel turns and people, you know, siding with the authority because we've seen that with Seth Rollins and all that already. But I don't care. Just give me something entertaining with Ziggler that is meaningful.
But how many times can they tease? And we've talked about this for as long as we've been doing pro wrestling.
You're at the point you don't even really like Ziggler anymore.
No, and that's why. Like I was going to say, we've talked about that on past episodes. Go back and listen to him. I love Dolph Ziggler. He was great. But how many times can I watch the man get pushed up and then knocked down, pushed up and knocked down before I finally go, you know what? I'm not interested anymore.
He did just sign a new deal. Like there was that, you know, speculation that he was leaving, but he signed, I think it was a 3-year deal they announced.
Dang. They did the same thing with Zack Ryder though. And you know, I'm a big Zack Ryder fan.
Yeah.
But Zack got the huge push, which was his own making, which is probably why
he failed.
They pushed him down, but then they made him GM of SmackDown for a day and it looked like he was getting built up. Pushed him back down. Had this great match with John Cena. Biggest match of his life. Pushed him back down.
Pushed him off the ramp.
Pushed him all the way to NXT. Where he's in the Hype Bros now, which even though I don't like Mojo Rawley, the fact that he's doing something makes me happy. Plus he's doing Emma. And that makes me happy because that is a handsome man and a good looking couple. I love the Macho Man, Zack Ryder. If you've seen him lately, he's got the full Macho Man beard.
He really does.
Oh my God.
He's Zacked.
He is so Zacked.
He's super Zacked.
I wish I was that Zacked, bro.
But yeah, so, Ziggler versus Triple H got booked.
You know it. WWE doesn't. Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
Sami Zayn beat The Miz to, you know, that's just doing more to set up the, which I love both those guys. I really do.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I say it again. The Miz is one of the most underrated people they have right now.
He's like a smaller version of Ryback.
Yes, except good at wrestling.
And more entertaining.
And entertaining, charismatic.
Better on the mic. The big guy isn't charismatic?
Yeah, exactly. The big guy is not charismatic.
He's not a complete tool bag.
Isn't he?
He doesn't, The Miz didn't have to dress like Goldberg to get a better push.
He just had to dress like Johnny Cage. But so, moving on, Naomi and Tamina versus Brie Bella and Alicia Fox.
Pointless.
But Lana is now.
Is this 2014?
Lana is now aligned with Team Bad because. Because
that's what two ultra hip ethnic chicks need is a white girl from Russia.
A week after they shot down Summer Rae. The gif of her trying to join in on their unity, like, hand motion and them just, like, walking past her is so good. And she doesn't care. She's just like, okay, yeah, I'm out here.
I'm beautiful.
I love Summer Rae.
I do not want to see Lana versus,
Brie Bella.
Lana versus Brie Bella is, and I'm a Bella fan. I've gotten flack for it before, but I don't want to see this match in any way at all.
I would be okay with it a year ago, but now that we have the.
Like, once you get past the initial, shock value of seeing Lana in, like, some skimpy wrestling outfit, which if she was in the match, she would be in shorts or something. But I mean, just look up CJ Perry online. You'll get way more. A lot.
But
she's practically naked.
No. What I was going to say is we can't have that match anymore because we have Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha. Like that match is going to be complete booty compared to anything that.
Anyway,
that those three are going to do.
And then it kind of looked like Lana was starting something with Paige because they were talking about Total Divas and then, Lana comes in and says, oh, you're not a winner anymore because you hang out with these loser Americans on your reality show. So, which, I mean, that kind of.
Not interested.
I'm assuming that probably is going to end up being like a Lana versus Paige just to get Lana a win going into her match with Brie.
And Jesus Christ.
And I genuinely
kind of think. Lana over Paige to set up for a feud with Brie Bella.
Who then Brie Bella loses to because she's going to, you know.
Or no, Brie Bella will win. Because she's a Bella.
They need to do that yes chant one more time.
But see, that's, it's either way. It's either you could push the Lana, who they may want to see in a bigger capacity wrestling wise, or they could give Brie a good send off for her retirement, which is impending.
We got about 2 minutes left. Let's skip right to the big thing, which was Roman Reigns coming back.
No. We completely glossed over Neville being hurt.
Oh, God.
So we're going over. Sorry. It's going to happen.
I also have about 20 minutes, probably 10 minutes of battery life because I didn't plug this bad boy in. We filmed this on a laptop, just for the record. Neville got hurt.
Record.
Neville got hurt in his match with Chris Jericho.
Which that happened after. I mean, that's the next thing that happened anyway because Triple H beat Dolph Ziggler. Good match. Really good match, of course, because look at who's in it. And then there was like a thing with the Social Outcasts, and then Goldust and R-Truth did another skit.
Not interested at all in anything they have to do.
So then Chris Jericho versus Neville. Neville goes for just a baseball slide between Jericho's legs. He's done it a million times, but landed wrong and broke his ankle. He then, after breaking his ankle,
he still tried to wrestle.
Not only tries to wrestle,
no, he wrestles.
Does a spin kick and a perfect Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, Kevin.
Before, he's like, oh, this isn't good. Like, this is hurt. I'm hurt.
Yeah. And I think the big thing out of that is that Charles Robinson, I don't think he knew he was hurt.
It's one of those things where there are so many different, depending on what website you go to, there are so many people interpreting this as Charles Robinson screwed up, or Chris Jericho really, Charles Robinson was in charge of the whole thing. Chris Jericho then ran with it. Chris Jericho's the one that saw what happened and made the call himself. There's just nothing but speculation.
But because the thing that I've always heard is that, the referees are told to go out there and sell it like a shoot.
But then they also have earpieces in.
They do.
If
they need to call an audible, they will.
Right. So.
But he saw, very plainly, Neville kicked out of Jericho's roll up.
Yeah.
Charles Robinson had no choice but to not count
three.
No, he didn't
kick out. He just didn't count.
Well, he got his shoulder up, if I remember correctly. Did he? Maybe I need to watch the video again. No, from what I saw, and maybe I'm wrong, I need to watch it again. But Neville got the shoulder up.
Cause I don't think he got the shoulder up. I think it was Charles Robinson had stopped counting.
We'll have to look at it.
Because he was like, this isn't the finish, so he just kind of pulled his hand. But either way,
Jericho got pissed. Chris Jericho, legitimately.
Was it legitimately, though? Because he gets up, you can hear him yell, he's hurt, and he shoves Charles Robinson. Charles Robinson then calls for the bell, disqualification
So you think that was the finish that they called? The audible?
There's so many ways that was the audible of him like, no, he's hurt, and he shoves him, so that's when Charles Robinson decides, oh, this is why, okay. Called for the disqualification.
And then one of the other things I heard is that Jericho tried to pin him quickly to get the match over with.
Mm-hmm.
Robinson didn't count the pin.
And then Jericho legitimately was angry
because he didn't
want
Neville to get hurt.
Right.
And that's why he yelled, he's hurt. Because, Jericho looked visibly angry.
Yeah.
And Robinson really did look like he had no idea what was going on.
I think this is something that we're going to have to wait until an episode of Talk is Jericho for him to really give his side of the story.
Yeah. And he'll probably have Charles Robinson on
to
talk about it.
Because they're both consummate professionals. Lil Nate went on Twitter and said, it was brought to my attention that I said a really bad word and I apologize. And it wasn't like I said a naughty word. No, it seemed like legitimate sincerity that he felt bad because he said, don't put your f***ing hands on me.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Now.
But that all could go into there's a heat of emotions because they don't know what's going on. They have a guy who's hurt. It could just be hey, I'm a referee official. You are not to put your hands on me type deal.
Yeah, but it's, Charles Robinson has been in the game for how long now?
Yeah.
Cause I remember him in WCW.
Yeah, he was in WCW.
20 years at
he
least.
He was in Halloween Havoc 1997 whenever we were watching.
He was. Yeah. So I can't imagine Charles Robinson in a storyline angle would yell out, don't put your effing hands on me. I don't think he would do that. In the heat of the moment. Not if it's scripted.
But at the same time, clearly it wasn't scripted because they can't script. Okay. Now Neville's going to go break his ankle. So you guys are going to have this exchange. How many times in watching matches do we see people say, yeah, well, you in the middle of a match?
Sami Zayn did it four times in his match.
They're just talking. Yeah. They just kind of talk smack to play up the show. So
yeah, the F word is I feel like on Raw, especially
it happens a lot. If you go back and watch the last couple weeks, I guarantee you'll find at least three.
It's crazy every time I see that.
Let's just.
It's not like Scott Steiner's in the ring.
But again, like I said, this is all, none of
Even
us.
Even though I wish he was, Jesse, don't get me wrong.
No one really knows what happened. It's just Chris Jericho, I feel like, is probably going to go on his podcast, which is great.
Much better than ours.
And he will kind of lay out. Because even if it was a legitimate, they were both angry at each other, there's a 0% chance that 20 minutes later, they hadn't talked to each other and smoothed it over.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just because from everything you hear about both guys,
they're
professionals and they understand and they're not really ones to let something like that go out of hand.
Right. They're not Vince McMahon.
But yeah, but either way, it was a really clever way of finishing the segment other than AJ Styles came out.
And, but also I always have a problem with, with stuff like that, how many times have we seen a referee get pushed and doesn't ring for the bell?
Yeah.
Remember, what was it? Earl Hebner used to get pushed and would push back.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments of wrestling.
Referees were allowed to have personalities and names.
Also, at the end of the show, and my God, there's so much we still need to cover from Raw. And you guys were talking about nothing really happened this week. Well, apparently everything happened because we've been talking about it.
I just wanted to make you feel better.
Because also, Roman Reigns came out and confronted Triple H. That's big because Roman Reigns hasn't been on in weeks.
Yeah.
And there was something else I thought that was really, really big. Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon and
then Chris Jericho's promo where he burned the Y2 AJ shirt.
So there's plenty more to talk about for wrestling. We'll just go over it real quick because we're already 5 minutes over. This is like the third show in a row we've gone like 20 minutes over. So,
the return of the punches, the terrible, terrible Shane McMahon punches, which is why he should not be, he is nowhere near a believable threat against The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Here's what makes me mad about Shane McMahon fighting The Undertaker in the ring, because I know Hunter built it up very much that, well, Shane has been a legitimate threat, and that's true. He has wrestled as a legitimate threat. But when you have The Undertaker in the ring, and you do that dumbass Shane O'Mac shuffle right in front of him to punch him.
When you're the good guy?
That is ridiculously stupid. Yep. Nope. I don't like it. I know it's just my opinion. But it just makes me not believe that The Undertaker is a threat. When Shane McMahon is doing that dumbass shuffle to do the dumbass punches.
Right.
You think
dumbass?
You think Taker's just gonna put an end to it? Like, he's gonna do that at WrestleMania and he's gonna give him like one of those really, like, you think he's gonna potato him?
I think Undertaker in real life is trying his hardest not to laugh.
Yeah.
Every time Shane O'Mac thinks that's cool.
Undertaker is a 600 year veteran. Like, there's no chance he's going to punch
Shane McMahon. He's an immortal wizard.
He's not going to punch Shane McMahon legitimately. To send him a message. Like, he knows that's a character. He knows that's, you know, that's not a disrespect thing. But it's still stupid to do against The Undertaker.
Yeah, if you did it against Heath Slater, sure.
Absolutely.
But to do it against the man who is Mr. WrestleMania.
Because you got some of those floaty, terrible, worst punches in wrestling. That's what they are. I'm sorry.
They are.
That's what they are.
They're the absolute worst.
Shane had a great line. I was unfortunate to be born Vince's son. You're just Vince's bitch.
Which Undertaker then just kind of, and I love when he dropped Shane.
Yeah.
He turned to Vince. And Vince left.
I think it might have been Hunter, or we talked about it last week, but just have Undertaker's just going to demolish Shane McMahon and then lay down and pull him on top.
I said that. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to pull him on and just look at Vince and just say, no.
Yeah.
Done. And that's the only way they can do it, really, in my opinion. Last thing, just real, real, real quick. Roman Reigns came back. He confronted Triple H. The crowd went mild. Oh, was it that? If this is your build up to WrestleMania, good luck, Vince.
That match cannot be the main event.
It won't be. It's going to be Shane versus Taker. I'm almost positive.
It has to be.
Which is sad that Shane McMahon, the 47, 48 year old son of the owner versus The Undertaker, a 700 year old undead wizard, is your main event of WrestleMania. When you have a roster that is filled with so many stars, this is your main event.
And potential stars. People that are just licenses to print money.
Oh, it's depressing and it's infuriating. And we're going to talk more about it next week because we really need to cut this off. Roman Reigns came back. Go watch Raw if you want to see just how tepid the crowd is.
Next week our WrestleMania predictions, or is it the week after?
The week after. Week after.
Okay, cool.
So next year we have one more regular show, then we'll do the WrestleMania preview the week after. And it's going to be a big special. It's also our 1 year anniversary here at Podzilla 1985. WrestleMania last year was our first show. We're going to do something special for it. We'll have more details in the works about that. But for now, we're going to cut it off here. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. I did want to talk about Hulk Hogan and the sex trial just because I love Hulk Hogan to an extent. But we'll save it for next time. It's interesting.
I'm sure there'll be more developments.
There is. And it's an interesting story. Like, to see the mighty Hulk Hogan's sex life on front page like that. It's interesting and also very, very depressing.
Yeah.
But stay tuned for that. We'll hope you guys watch that. Tomorrow we're going to be back for Tanner Thursday. Tanner's going to be here, I'm pretty sure. I think they're talking about Harry Potter. So if I'm here, it'll be strictly as a moderator because I don't know nothing about Harry Potter. I know he's a boy who wizards.
I think Harry Potter eventually is who Undertaker, like Undertaker, he becomes Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like he dies and then comes back as the undead wizard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Harry Potter is the origin story.
That's definitely not true because Undertaker's cool.
Oh, big T.
Suddenly Asa and I can't be friends.
I can marry Jesse now.
Yay!
Legally. All right.
Thanks, Missouri.
We'll see you guys on the next one. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll listen to it. And then also sports show on Saturday. You know the shows. If you're listening to this, you already know the lineup. Thanks for listening. Dalton, text out.
See ya.
No. Jesse, text out.
Harry Potter is cool, motherfucker.
Oh, no.